welcome back to Ugh, As If with Lisa Ferral, a contemporary art podcast. And yeah, I took a break. Listen, I have been really annoyed recently with the way that my main channel, like algorithm and everything, is working right now. YouTube, I think that maybe someone complained about it or something, I don't know, but I have told you that I got like a lot more dislikes than usual on a video that was about red, white, and royal blue, and I think someone complained about the video being like inappropriate or something like that, and YouTube restricted the monetization on it, which is great. It's not like I'm already making nothing off of YouTube. It's not like I can't pay my bills or anything, like, bitch. It's so annoying, but in any case, it's really dark outside today, and I had to, like, put a bunch of lamps on, and your girl will always have under-eye circles, or, like, not, I don't even know what to call it, but, like, yeah, under-eye circles, I guess. I'm, like, the queen of it. Even with concealer, you can still see it. It's great. Never mind the shirt. I already spilled something on it. I just put it on, and I already spilled something, which is great. First and foremost, Sunmi came back. S-U-N-M-I, not Sunmi, but Sunmi. And I, as per usual, I need to talk about it because I have always talked about her releases in one way or another. And in the past few years, I've been kind of pissed about how she's not getting as much attention as she used to from the public. And it is in part due to the fact that everyone has this weird attitude of caring about the newest group or the newest debut, constantly focusing on rookies. No one supports artists who have a lot of experience and who add a lot to the industry. I feel like this is kind of annoying. And I wanted to talk about Sunmi because, listen, if you like aesthetics and concepts and stuff like that, I feel like you're gonna like Sunmi's work. And her recent work is called Stranger. And I took a bunch of like screenshots and stuff like that because the thing is, yes, the song sounds like three songs in one. I know, okay? It's abrupt. The sections are not really connected properly as they should be. But this is kind of like a thing that is very common in K-pop in general. And of course, people don't pay attention to it as much when it is a group, especially if it's a boy group. And mostly because I think that it's because like there's a lot of members, so whenever a member takes over the song, it doesn't feel so jarring because there's someone else singing or someone else performing or whatever. So it doesn't feel like it's so jarring because visually it also switches up in that sense. But I wouldn't say that this is my style of music because, as we know, I like a groovy R&B type of deal, and it's more pop and a bunch of other experimental shit, and it's experimental because it is put together into one song, you know. Regardless of that, the B-side tracks on that release are really good. There's two of them, and if you're into spooky aesthetics, I was just like gagging over some of the visuals because there's like a director's cut, which is like a longer version. I think maybe, I'm not sure if it's actually, I can't remember because I watched it a couple of days ago. I can't remember if it shows the entire song or if it's like a film version in quotations where they don't show the entire song, but they show the footage that they filmed that tells a story. But basically the story of the clip is Sunmi is making a perfect version of herself, and it's kind of like Frankenstein inspired, and it's horror-esque, but it was also filmed in Poland. And it's so funny because there's like a moment in the track teaser video where a bunch of grandmas are just like sweeping the streets behind Sunmi, and then at the end of the clip you see them in the background and they're on the brooms flying. It's fantastic. This is just like so great. I will add, you know, images in the video version of the podcast, but I also loved, and I added it on, I like posted about it on Twitter as well, but I loved the table scene. It's like a bunch of grandmas are just like sitting around a big round table, and Sunmi is dancing on the table with this guy that looks like Babadook or like some other weird creature like that. It's so fun. I just love this aesthetic in general, like something super, like it's a bit cute, but it's also not really at all. And it's kind of scary, but not really. I feel like it has something so intriguing about it. And I've already talked about it. I made a video about it before where I talked about the feminine horror in Sonmi's work. I will link it somewhere. I don't even remember what I've said in that video. It's been a while. I think it's been like maybe 3 years. It was one of my first videos on my channel. And her work in general is always fun, in my opinion. And I think that people are kind of just like giving her a hard time in the past couple of years, because I personally think that Gashina wasn't really a good song to compare to all of her other songs. And if you compare Gashina to even her latest release, Stranger, I feel like Stranger is a better song than Gashina, just because Gashina is very much YG type of deal, where she has like a instrumental drop for a chorus, and it's just not as compelling, really. The reason why I do love Gashina anyway is because it's Sunmi performing, and the dance, the choreography itself, the music video, the outfits, everything, the performance itself, you know, it's really fun. But it's basically only working because it's Sunmi. And I feel like Stranger might have been a similar thing. It maybe is a similar thing. I just think it's weird that back then people were eating it up and now they're not. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense to me, because this is definitely a better, like, more developed concept, I think. And I don't know. I think that it's just weird because people don't give her enough credit for her to get more backing. You know, I feel like she has to like struggle a lot to get what she needs for a good comeback, because people are just like, I don't know, weird. And I'm still not sure what the hell happened, because the thing is, a lot of people speculate that what happened with her career, and not even with her career, because her career is still kind of going the same, like it's still going, obviously. I think a lot of people were talking about how You Can't Sit With Us, that comeback, kind of set her back a lot because of the rap verse, and I just don't agree, okay? Because the thing is, I did not love the rap verse, mostly because I don't really care that much for rapping in general. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And in that song, I feel like, also just in general, I feel like Sunmi can get away without ever rapping. But K-pop industry is, you know, one of those things where everyone needs to rap, every song needs a rap or whatever. But regardless of that, that comeback was really good as well, except for that rap verse. And it's so annoying because people will ignore the most cringe bullshit from boy groups. Release cringe every day, and at such a high volume, with such boring ass concepts, that I cannot believe that people see something like a rap verse in You Can't Sit With Us and annihilate someone's career off of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a combination of things, of just people having bad taste, first of all. Second of all, not seeing potential, and not seeing that she would actually get more creative and do more stuff if she gets more backing and more people to work with. Just people are really stepping on any progress just because of like how much people love bandwagoning against somebody. And it's so fucking annoying because, like, genuinely, there's so many groups that people follow religiously and buy their albums, buy their stuff, like collect their photo cards, whatever the fuck. And you look at them and it's just like a bunch of dudes that really just are so cringe with so many, like, in so many fucking ways. And it's like, I don't get how you can digest their cringe, but you can digest like 20 seconds of cringe in like 5 years of her solo career, or like 7 years of her solo career, or whatever the fuck, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me, genuinely, because the thing with You Can't Sit With Us is that it was like a mini album, right? And out of all of those songs, a lot of them were so great. The music video was fantastic, the outfits were to die for, the choreography was fun, the concept was fun. She did like a shootout scene with a bunch of zombies in that video. It was fantastic. And yet people focused on that stupid ass rap part. Her tail comeback was so good, but apparently, based on what Sunmi said herself, it like performed the worst out of like a lot of her, maybe all of her comebacks. I'm not entirely, like, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that she said something. It's either that it was one of the worst performing, or that it was not performing as well as she would have hoped it performed. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how she phrased it, but it's strange because it's like the choreography fantastic, the outfit fantastic, everything was great, the song was so good, and it was actually not like disjointed or anything like that, you know. It was quite the opposite of what people are complaining about with Stranger, right? And it just doesn't make any fucking sense, because it's like people just decided not to allow any cringe from her or something like that, and just like are running with it, when at the same time they don't mind Somi doing what she does. S-O-M-I. Girl, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm not getting the whole situation. I think that also the fact that I don't understand how popular something is in Korea to compare to international kind of, you know, opinions, I think it's a little bit harder for me to kind of gauge what's going on with, you know, Sunmi and stuff like that. In any case, Red Velvet is coming back and I'm really, really excited about that, but I cannot wait. I cannot wait anymore. The fact that we had a full album 6 years ago and NCT 127 had albums back to back in terms of like every year for 2 years at least, like they had a full album just like recently and they had one last year, I genuinely just like, what the fuck is wrong with SM? Like, how can they have a group? Because the thing is, Red Velvet is a senior group to NCT, right? And I think that NCT 127 is the most, like, the biggest first proper unit that was there from the beginning. So they would have the most albums out of all NCT units. Explain to me how NCT 127 is on their fifth or something. I think it was their fifth full album. And Red Velvet is just about to release their third. They are like 2 years senior, I think, to the entirety of NCT. How does that even work? Explain that to me, because I don't get it. It's absolutely just diabolical, honestly. And the thing is, I am a fan of NCT. I'm an NCT citizen. I still don't get this. I still don't, because this is fucking crazy, honestly. I am hoping for a Velvet comeback from Red Velvet. I am tired of Red comebacks, like I just am, and I want automatic type of shit. I don't want Psycho. And I'm not saying that Psycho is bad. I just don't think that it's automatic level good, okay? And I want automatic. I want actual R&B, because they just have the voices for it, okay? And honestly, it would be best if they released a double title track, kind of like how they did with Automatic and Ice Cream Cake. That would have been absolutely fucking perfect. Anyway, enough of music conversation. Let's talk about Victoria's Secret, because I just thought I tweet a couple of days ago, maybe a day ago even, where someone tweeted about Victoria's Secret being done with wokeness because their sales went down. And it's like, okay, first and foremost, okay, Victoria's Secret have been flops for years, okay? They've been flops for almost 10 years before this, okay? Let's start there. Second of all, the sales went down, if they did, okay? Not because they included people who are not size 000, but because their designs suck ass and their creative direction sucks ass. They did this on purpose. Genuinely, they did this on purpose. They want to sell insecurities. They love selling those like lip glosses to women, being like, be more like a Victoria's Secret bombshell. It's like, okay, listen, there's nothing wrong with being hot, sexy, cool, okay? And if you happen to be also very skinny at the same time, I don't give a fuck, genuinely. Like, that's not like it's like a prohibited or something. But the problem is that, first and foremost, their designs, like those bras, whatever, like some of their underwear, oftentimes it was low-key ugly, even at their peak, okay? Let's start there. They think that they were at their peak in the early 2000s and that their designs were like the best back then, whatever, and they were selling the dream, they were selling the angels. It's so fucking stupid, honestly. They made this comeback a flop on purpose. I am sure of that, because they will go back now that they said, Our sales went down. We're done with you people. Your wokeness has ruined things. It's not as hot or pretty anymore. We are done with you. Obviously, the brand of Victoria's Secret is still this kind of glossiness and being hot and whatever. And obviously, being hot is subjective. The whole point of that conversation in general is the fact that people who are still working as models can model on that runway. It doesn't have to be a runway that takes random people who are not models to walk it, okay? Because the thing is, when people were saying, oh yeah, some things are supposed to be exclusive, and of course there were a lot of people who were responding to that being like, well, this isn't NASA, because that girl used the example of NASA is exclusive, NFL is exclusive, whatever, and they were like, well, it's not NASA or NFL or Harvard or whatever, because it doesn't require specific skills, and even if it does, we are selling to the public and blah blah blah, right? So like, you have to appeal to the public and show off all types of bodies, right? But showing off all types of bodies does not mean that you dress them purposefully bad. It doesn't mean getting people off the street who do not know how to model, who don't have this natural appeal. And by natural appeal, I don't mean that it's like some kind of type of body. Like, it just makes no fucking sense. All right. And I think that there was a lot of people in the ads that I've seen, whatever, like, they look fine in terms of who they are, whatever. It's the styling. Like, why did you have to style them like that? Because the thing is, they went for doveification of the brand, basically being like, you know how Dove had like the all bodies are beautiful or whatever campaign? And it was like somewhere at the end of 2000s or maybe the beginning of 2010, something like that. And they had this like plain background. Everything is white. Everyone is wearing body shade, like skin shades of underwear and whatever. And they kind of went for the same aesthetic with the new collection, in a sense of at least underlining it with the promotional images. Looking at those images, you immediately see that they are going for more toned down look in terms of their background, right? Like what they're being filmed in front of. They are even making, like, they're taking pictures of Bella Hadid, and she's, for example, in a picture with like three other women. And even Bella Hadid doesn't look as Bella Hadid as she is, because they kind of just made the background meh. The outfit is meh. They don't, like, there's nothing interesting about this campaign. That's what it is, you know? There's nothing innovative. And because at this point, there are so many brands that are in the game, because it's just so, I wouldn't say it's accessible, but it's just, there's a lot of people who can afford to be making, you know, their own products and having their own brands and whatever, that the game is very difficult to compete in. There's so many things that they did, like, this feels purposefully done like wrong. There are some pictures that I saw where the models are, for example, outside, and based on the lighting, I can tell that they were literally taking pictures in under the sun, under the very, very bright sun, somewhere in a really warm place where the sun is really, really bright. And you know, as I'm sure that there's some people who do photography or videography in, you know, out of all the people that are watching this or listening to this, you know that the worst day to be taking pictures, where you would have to be working overtime to make the person look good or look their best, right? Like how they would want to look when it's really, really bright outside, when it's really, really sunny outside. Because the direct sunlight from the top, it's kind of like what it makes you look like, the lighting makes you look like when you're in Aritzia trying things on. I wouldn't say that I have any problems with the way that I look, but even I go to Aritzia and I go outside, you know, because obviously they don't have the fucking, you know, mirrors in the changing rooms. You go outside to look at yourself, and the lighting is directly from above, and it makes you look horrible. The lighting is very important. And the thing is, I feel like people love to underline how when they're doing diversification, for some reason they think that people want to look bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, as if all of those models are like, you know what? I have something that's diverse about me, whatever, to compare to all the like typical Victoria's Secret models from the 2000s or whatever. You know what I would love? I would love for them to light up the room in a horrible way where my body would look like it would be the worst angle, the worst lighting. I would love for them to make me look my worst. Who would ever say that, and who would ever want that? I feel like it's kind of this conversation about a lot of photographers. I feel like if you've ever modeled, if you've ever done any sort of modeling for anything, even just for like one of your photography friends or something, you know that when the photographer is the type of person who doesn't see beauty in people, you will get horrible pictures taken of you. It doesn't matter. It absolutely does not matter whether you are hot or not. The pictures are going to make you look your worst, because they will make the flattest image imaginable. And by flat image, I mean, like, they will take a picture of you, for example, and instead of just like covering up a couple of blemishes in post, they will completely make your face look like butter. That's how much they will be retouching, even though there's nothing there. Like, I don't have like a spot here, right? But they will completely go over fucking everything on your face to the point where you don't even look human anymore. And there is definitely something to be said about how people look more hot when they're looking more human. There is obviously some stuff that works better. Like, for example, the lighting being a bit softer is better than something that literally blasts in someone's face and makes them, first and foremost, just uncomfortable. And second of all, just like a weird angle of lighting that changes the proportion of the face. Because I'm telling you, the lighting, the camera, everything can change so many things. Even this setup right now, if I were to be sitting in front of a window on like a nice day, I wouldn't have, like, you wouldn't be able to see any of this because the lighting would be soft and natural, okay? This is blasting in my face, and it is not the most optimal type of way to light me up, okay? And maybe not light me up, Jesus Christ, to light me. Anyway, it's just strange because it's one thing to have diverse models, and it's another thing to have this weird need to underline things about those models in a weird way. Like, it's kind of like being like, I want to have a very diverse group of people, but then have a photographer who doesn't know how to light the studio when they're taking pictures of a very dark skinned person. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, what's the point if you're not going to try? What's the point if you're not going to do the same thing that you were doing for the girls who were 100% the standard of all of the, you know, beauty standards, right? Like, what's the point if you're not going to try? Like, I don't know. And I just noticed that about like photographers in general, and like stylists and everyone, when they don't think about the overall image and how, like, what they want and how that person who they're hiring is working within that concept and that image and everything, you get images that are like just okay. They don't hit the spot, you know. There's some photographers that could make literally anybody feel comfortable because they just see the interesting and captivating, not even beautiful, but like captivating things about people, because that's how you make something work, you know. It's just a little bit strange because, like, even the underwear that they put on them, like, so much of it, I'm just looking at it, okay, why why do you have so many padded bras in here when they're just so out of fashion? It's not even the question of whether it's a Victoria's Secret thing or not, but they're out of fashion. And you are very much adjacent to fast fashion. You're not adjacent to designers that could stick to their guns in terms of like still making the same shit because it's like their signature thing or they created it. If Vivienne Westwood were to make another pair of earrings with the symbol, you know, that's very popular of Vivienne Westwood, I wouldn't be like, what are you doing? Because it's their thing, like the brand's thing, the designer's thing, but it's also like a thing that they invented, kind of, right? Here it's like, okay, you're supposed to be following trends. I don't know if you heard about it, but you're not that girl. You're not the fashion as art girl. You're fashion as entertainment, fashion as consumerism girl. Just be honest with yourself. Like, that's what I hate about brands so much nowadays, is that they don't understand that, like, sometimes you're just the Colleen Hoover of the fashion world and you're not Dostoevsky, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just have to accept that, because be honest with yourself. Anyway, the moral of the story is that they did not try with the campaign, they did not try with concept, they did not try with the lighting, they didn't try to make this an interesting launch, and now they're going, this is diversity's fault. You guys don't actually want diversity. You guys just really don't like it when we do diverse things. No, babe, I want you to still give hot, sexy, cool while giving us diversity, okay? Because there were so many, like yeah, like this, there's like a few pictures that I'm looking at that are like, they look like Dove commercial, and it's not like the girls are looking bad, they don't look bad, but nothing about this is interesting. Nothing about this makes me go, oh, I should check out their new collection. It does not look interesting, babe. I don't know what to tell you. It's crazy how executives and creative directors will always blame everything on diversity and wokeness and how we allowed women in the workplace or some other bullshit like that, instead of blaming their lack of skills, their lack of understanding, their lack of simple marketing skills. Because this is not even artistry. No one's asking you to reinvent the wheel. Like, no one's asking you to do any more than you already have done. Like, I don't know, just all the complaining, and it's so annoying. And I personally, this is my statement, I personally think they did it on purpose. That they launched this so poorly, that they really wanted to do this in such a shitty way that they could, you know, fling back to no diversity and kind of claim innocence and be praised for going back to their roots, you know, which they are getting praised for it under that post. I was like, wow, this is fucking great. And it's kind of the same thing as, like, you know, Kardashians putting in implants. They're putting in implants into their asses, into their boobs, into whatever the fuck, and then removing it now because, like, being super skinny is in again, you know? And it's, like, so fucking dumb. It's like, can you guys get a personality? Get some creative ideas? A little bit, just a few. Just a few. You're already making so much money for somebody who's that dumb and just, like, unable to do the easiest jobs imaginable. Doing creative things, especially like this, bitch, you can't be serious. It's not like you're making something new. You're literally copying and using AI to predict trends, and you still can't figure it out. Like, tech bros are doing the easiest jobs out there and they still can't figure it out. Like, they can't figure it out even with the help of computers that are predicting pretty well what people are gonna wanna buy in a season or two, and they still can't figure it out. I cannot believe that this is real, honestly. Absolute mess. Anyway, I have had my another oncologist appointment, because I usually have them now once every 6 months. It used to be once every 3 months. Now it's once every 6 months. And I had my appointment, and it was the 2-year mark since the diagnosis. And like, usually for Hodgkin's specifically, for my type of cancer, you are under close supervision for about 2 years from the day that you are diagnosed, because if you are to have a recurrence or something, it would happen within 2 years usually. Like, it's basically very, very rare to have a recurrence after, right? So I did my blood work, and my blood work is fine. Celebrating. And I got like a little cake and whatever. And I talked to the oncologist, and she told me that we'll do a CT scan, because I've done it about a year ago, and it's already, you know, it's been a while. And also to kind of get cleared for good, for me to just kind of, you know, calm down a bit more and like not expect some kind of, like, you know, some bad shit to happen or whatever, I need to do a CT scan to just make sure that there's nothing going on. Because as far as I know, until like the blood doesn't show shit, even though it's a blood cancer, it doesn't show anything until second stage. And because of that, I should do a CT scan. But so far, so good. So we're almost there, besties. I'm almost completely in the clear. And if I'm gonna be completely in the clear with this, then I got away almost scot-free, bitch. Like, mentally, maybe not. But physically, yeah. No damage on organs or anything, bitch. I'm living. Quite literally. Anyway, yeah, let me know how it's shaking. What's new? I will see you next week. I know that I have taken a bit of a break from this, but I was losing my mind because I think that the YouTube, like the main channel, is kind of getting on my nerves because of, like, you know, the effort being put in, and then YouTube algorithm is kind of fucking me over. And then recently the red white and royal blue video getting restricted and, you know, demonetized and stuff like that. It's getting on my nerves. Okay, so I needed to take a little break because I was doing way too much and not taking care of myself. And I wish I could take better care of myself and like pace myself instead of, you know, working every single day. Because I don't really take days off. And mostly because I'm like very anxious about the bills and everything. So I try to work as much as I can. And I don't think that it's like the best idea for, you know, post-cancer life. But it is what it is. It is what it is. Anyway, I'll see you next week with another podcast episode. Bye.